happy to have you all here. Okay, case number one, 14-12-42, 14-13-56, 14-30-59, Kmart v. Quickstar. And it's Mr. Walker Bright. Is it not?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. May I get started? Or
of course.
Thank you.
Be sure and introduce yourself.
Will do. May it please the court, my name is Paul Walker Bright, and I represent the appellant Kmart Corporation. Kmart and Footstar entered into a contract called the Master Agreement to allow Footstar to operate within Kmart's stores. As part of the bargain, Footstar promised to procure insurance that would insure Kmart for injuries arising out of or relating to Footstar's goods and services. Footstar separately promised to defend and indemnify Kmart for injuries arising out of Footstar's performance or failure to perform. Footstar fulfilled its promise to insure Kmart by obtaining insurance from Liberty Mutual. Liberty Mutual, which was fully aware of the arrangement between Kmart and Footstar, issued a policy with a very broad amendment that insured Kmart for its own negligence for injuries arising out of Footstar's work. Despite this broad language, and despite the fact that a jury found Footstar to be a proximate cause of Judy Patrick's injuries based on its employee's conduct in the course and scope of his employment, Liberty Mutual contends that Judy Patrick's injuries did not arise out of Footstar's work. The district court correctly held that Liberty Mutual and Footstar breached their duties to defend Kmart in the Patrick lawsuit, and Kmart has not appealed the court's ruling that Footstar must indemnify Kmart for 15% of the settlement of the Patrick lawsuit.
I want to ask you about this arising out of under New Jersey law. Isn't this case different than those that you cited interpreting arising out of under New Jersey law? Because this case involves an act prohibited by the contract as opposed to one that was arguably not foreseeable.
Whether the act was prohibited or not, that is not the test under New Jersey law. The test under New Jersey law is whether the injuries arise out of the named insured's work. And New Jersey courts have framed the question as whether the injuries are the natural and reasonable incident or consequence of the named insured's work, and thus a risk for which the insureds may reasonably expect coverage.
Well, based on your reading of what constitutes Footstar's work, could a Footstar employee have gone into a Kmart pharmacy and given someone something from the pharmacy pursuant to the master agreement? Not necessarily a prescription drug, but you know how they have other drugs that are there that are not necessarily prescription.
Yes. The answer is yes, because when you look at the master agreement, if the test is whether, essentially the test is one of reasonable foreseeability. Did the insureds reasonably foresee, or could they anticipate the named insured doing something and liability would arise from those acts? And in this case, we have a master agreement which shows that the parties actually contemplated this set of circumstances.
How far would you argue that a court should take the argument about the substantial nexus between the named insurer's work and the injury? For example, if Seahat had clocked out, he's on his way out the door in his street clothes, and he stopped to help Mrs. Patrick, would Footstar have any liability?
In that circumstance, yes, I think they would. Because, that is still within the contemplation of the parties set forth in the master agreement.
Suppose it was his day off. Suppose he had just stopped in to pick up his pay stub.
That is certainly a much closer question as to whether or not it would arise out of Footstar's work. If he's not on the clock, if it's his day off, then the insurance policy defines Footstar's work as work or operations by or on behalf of Footstar. So in that circumstance, at least arguably, and I'm not saying that this is the case, but it's a much closer question as to whether or not he is performing work by or on behalf of Footstar. He still could be, depending on, for example, if that was a normal practice. If employees did come in on their off days and did assist in the store, and the parties knew that was going on, then that would be a circumstance that could be insured by the policy. I mean, certainly there is a boundary.
That would be a very bizarre situation, wouldn't it?
I don't think it would be bizarre. Again, it depends on what the actual course of dealing of the parties was in that circumstance. If that's something that regularly happened and then they therefore knew it was going on, then maybe that is something that would arise out of the work. I'm not saying one way or the other whether it does. I agree that's a closer question. But we're not anywhere near that sort of circumstance here.
Well, because, you know, your argument, of course, is that the insurance policy language is so broad, but it covers a liability, quote, arising out of your work. But isn't that broad language narrowed by the subsequent section, which states, quote, applies only to coverage and limits of insurance required by the written agreement?
It is not narrowed by that provision. That provision directs the parties to the coverage that is required by whatever the parties agreed to in the written agreement, but it doesn't necessarily narrow the scope of the coverage. I mean, you do have to look, because the policy directs you to look at what the in this case the master agreement is requiring Footstar to procure. But in this case, what we have is a master agreement and an insuring provision which is much broader than what the insurance requires. The master agreement says that Footstar must provide insurance for injuries arising out of or relating to the goods and services provided pursuant to the master agreement. And relating to is a much broader standard than arising out of. It doesn't even require a causal connection. It just requires, it means by reason of an established or discoverable relation. We clearly have an established or discoverable relation between Footstar's work, or services rather, and Judy Patrick's injuries. But because the master agreement is broader than the policy, the coverage defaults to the policy in the arising out of language.
Can you tell me exactly where in the master agreement, and I'm looking for a page number, if at all possible, is the modification that allows Footstar to provide services to customers in areas of Kmart stores other than the footwear department?
There is no language in the master agreement that allows that. In fact, Section 3.3 says that Footstar is not permitted to provide services outside of the footwear department premises without prior written permission. But what that shows is that the parties contemplated this circumstance. This is not a case of reasonable foreseeability. This is a case of them actually foresee it. In other words, the parties thought about, what would happen?
Then wouldn't they have stated it?
Well, they did. They said that Footstar should not be allowed to provide services outside of the bounds of the footwear department premises without written permission, which means that they thought about it. The parties contemplated that circumstance.
Right, and that's why they limited it.
Correct.
To what's in that department. And that, when you read that language from 18.1 of the master agreement, it says arising out or relating to goods and services provided pursuant to the agreement. And the goods and services they provide have to do with what happens in the footwear department.
The term services, as used in Section 18.1, is the small s undefined term services.
Right.
So it isn't limited to the capitalized
services. Right, but when you
s
read
services.
That with 3.3 that says, you know, shall furnish and no other merchandise or services without prior permission of Kmart, that to me, when you read them together, limits it.
It limits what Footstar can do in the contract. It does not limit the scope of the insurance, because, again, the test on the scope of the insurance is whether it arises out of Footstar's work, which under New Jersey law is this foreseeability test, whether it is the natural and reasonable incident or consequence of the named insured's work. So if the parties thought about this circumstance and provided for it in the contract, then it is reasonable for Kmart to expect to be covered if a Footstar employee does something that he's not allowed to do and injures a Kmart customer. I mean, that is one of the very core reasons why Kmart would want to get insurance. It's letting another entity's employees into its stores. It doesn't control those entities. In fact, the contract says that Footstar must control its employees and determine their work procedures. So as a condition to letting Footstar employees into the stores, Kmart would want to be insured if the Footstar employee does something wrong and injures a customer. That's a reasonable expectation that any company in Kmart's position would have.
But what if the Footstar employee was being a good Samaritan, see somebody on the floor, you know, and they're choking or something, and they do that technique, you know, the Heimlich technique, and then something happens as a consequence of that. Maybe they get out whatever they choked on, but the person was bruised or suffers. I mean, are you saying that would be foreseeable as well?
Yes. Again, it's a question of arising out of. And remember, if you look at the arising out of test, it's certainly foreseeable that if you see somebody who is choking, who is, you know, in danger, their lives are in danger, you would want somebody to help them in that circumstance. You wouldn't want them to just be standing idly by while letting the person, you know, die. But you would also want to be insured in that circumstance. That's why you require Footstar to have such broad insurance in the master agreement. They're letting the Footstar employees in the store. Short of building a wall around the footwear department premises or chaining them to the premises, you can't stop them from going into other areas of the store. You can put what you want into the contract to try to limit it as much as you can, but if they go into other areas of the store, even if they're not allowed to, that's why Kmart wants the insurance.
How do you respond to this argument that in the operative complaint, that's the Second Amended complaint, you state that Footstar breached the master agreement when its employee assisted Mrs. Patrick outside of the footwear department? Liberty says that you've pled yourself out of court by contradicting the complaint and arguing here that CHAT was performing within the scope of the agreement. So, have you?
No, that argument is both wrong and irrelevant in this case. First of all, legal conclusions and legal theories in pleadings are not judicial admissions. So the allegation that a party failed to perform, that is, breached the contract, that's a legal conclusion based on a particular interpretation of the contract. And in fact, this argument, which by the way was only made by Footstar, it was not made by Liberty Mutual. This argument is one that was made by Footstar in connection with the performance or failure to perform part of the indemnity provision. So this is not something that would limit the case against Liberty Mutual in any event. But even in the briefs, Footstar refers to this as Kmart's breach theory repeatedly. In other words, they acknowledge that it is a legal theory of recovery, not a factual allegation. And Kmart has consistently alleged and argued that Footstar's obligations are triggered by its performance or failure to perform. So, for example, in paragraphs 58 and 59 of the Second Amended Complaint, recovery is sought based on Footstar's performance or failure to perform. And because, again, with respect to Footstar, because the employee was acting in the course and scope of his employment, it really doesn't matter whether he was performing or failed to perform. Footstar is liable to indemnify Kmart in either event. And the last point I want to make on that is...
So in other words, you're saying that if Mr. Seahead had stood by... in other words, you win no matter what happened here.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if he's acting in the course and scope of his employment in this circumstance and he actively became involved in the case...
Well, I can't find a way that you don't think he's acting... I mean, you know, he's giving away... he's in the drugstore, in the drug department, giving customers...
Well, there is a limitation.
Coming in for his pay stub. What's the limitation here?
The limitation would be the course and scope of employment. So, for example...
Well, no. You know, that's so roundabout. You have to give me an example.
I will.
There
is a case, for example, where it's the DeMyrick case that Liberty Mutual cited, where the employee in his off-duty hours came onto the premises and shot a hotel guest. Does that arise out of performance or failure to perform? Probably not. I mean,
probably not.
I mean, almost certainly not. You could think of some circumstance where it might not, but I can't. So there is a boundary to that. But the point is,
giving me a boundary.
That is one.
Just coming in and murdering someone.
That's one boundary. But here.
Some insurance contract.
No, this isn't the insurance contract. This is the indemnity contract, first of all. And again, we're talking about a situation here where he became actively involved in the situation. If Mr. Sahat was simply standing there doing nothing, and the contract didn't allow him to do anything, if it said you can't go beyond the boundaries of the footwear department, and therefore you are not allowed to go help that customer, and he doesn't do anything, is he performing the contract? Yes, he is. But is there going to be any liability on him in that case? No.
So what
probably
if what
not.
If with my little shopper is in an area where he is and they're the only ones around, and this happens to little shopper, and he says, can't help because, you know, that's what my contract says. I can't get involved. And, you know, he runs off maybe and gets help. In the meantime, the person dies. So now we have a lawsuit for gross negligence. And he's, you know, he didn't do anything. He was there on the spot. So he's covered under that, too. Right? Under your interpretation.
He
doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
He does it because he says, I'm supposed to be in the shoe department, so sorry, I'll run off and see if I can find somebody who might help you. Person dies. You know the person's suing. They were in the Kmart store. So he's liable there too, right? He's covered under the indemnity clause under that circumstance too.
You mean is does
his,
Footstar
his
have,
lack of action.
His lack of action.
Exactly.
It's probably not a breach of the contract in that circumstance, so a failure to perform. I mean, if the contract prohibits him from doing anything.
Didn't you just say the opposite?
Yeah.
No. No. I mean, if the contract says that he can't go outside the footwear department premises, and he doesn't go outside the footwear department premises, then that may or may not be a failure to perform. I mean,
I'm just not getting your argument, because to me, when he walks in the Kmart store, whether he's in the Footstar area or not, under your theory, he's covered. And so really anything he does or doesn't do, short of murder or something like that, that is totally unrelated to anything, and that's, you know.
Right. If it's in the course and scope of his employment.
Well, no, but you're,
that's
but
not
the
an
course
answer.
And scope we, of his employment, you're saying, is when he walks in the door. When he walks in the door, it's in the course and scope of his employment. Because whether he ignores somebody on the ground, whether he gives somebody help, anything he essentially does, once he's in the Kmart store, short of some criminal act, the indemnity agreement should cover him.
Well, I think that's essentially correct. I mean, because it's performance.
So if he's shopping, it's his day off, and he comes in to shop?
Well, again, it depends on what. If he's working for Footstar, that's another key factor here. If he's on the job working for Footstar, he's getting paid by Footstar, he comes in and does his work, then anything he does in the store, in the course and scope of his employment, that is Footstar's work. That is, he's doing it for Footstar.
Okay,
that
so
is the course and scope
of
employment.
He's there shopping. It's his day off.
If he's there shopping, if it's his day off, again, that's a much closer question as to whether or not that's Footstar's work. I don't know that it is Footstar's work.
But when he helps the person who's struggling, and he's outside of the Footstar footprint, wherever mm-hmm. that is, and he assists that person who's a Kmart customer, he's really assisting Kmart, isn't he?
No. I mean, it depends. I mean, I don't know what all the parameters are of the course and scope of employment test are, whether that is something that would be covered by scope of employment or not. I mean, the course and scope
of
employment
is...
Yeah,
but that's what we're trying to grapple with.
Well,
that's the issue.
Right. The course and scope of employment test is broad. It is a very broad standard. But one of the things that is encompassed in that is whether or not, again, it sort of is a foreseeability type standard. Is it foreseeable that an employee on the job, while he's working for Footstar, if he sees somebody who is in clear physical distress, is their life is in danger, is it foreseeable that he could go over and help that person? Yes. Is that in the course and scope of his employment? Yes. Arguably, yes. And therefore, it would be something, and because he's acting then on behalf of Footstar, it's Footstar's performance or failure to perform.
Time is fleeting, so let's go to the estoppel argument.
Sure.
Is it fair game, do you think, to use Liberty's errantly disclosed attorney-client privilege material against them? Even if they disclosed it, and it is fair game, what weight do we give a lawyer's early assessment in which his opinion might be weighted toward preparing his client for the worst case scenario? So is it fair game?
Yes, it is. It's fair game because it goes directly to the heart of the bad faith test, for example, where Liberty Mutual has to knowingly or recklessly disregard the lack of a reasonable basis for its denial of benefits. When you have your own attorney telling you that the employee was acting in the course and scope of his employment, and therefore what he was doing is Footstar's work, and you have your own employee or own lawyer telling you that Footstar could be found liable for up to 25% of Judy Patrick's injuries based on that employee's conduct, then Liberty Mutual has no reasonable basis to argue that the injuries did not arise out of Footstar's work. So it's absolutely a fair game in this case.
How was Kmart prejudiced by Liberty's delay in informing Kmart of its disclaimer?
Kmart was prejudiced because it was forced to defend itself in the Judy Patrick lawsuit, to pay for the Patrick lawsuit in its entirety, and then by having to
sue. Nobody forces people to settle. Nobody forces people to settle.
But the option in that case,
judges don't hold guns.
Right. But the option in that case then is to roll the dice, take the case to trial, and look at a potentially much greater. It is a choice. But the choice is the prejudice is not so much from the choosing to settle or not settle. The prejudice is in having to pay it in the first place. You have to pay the settlement. You have to pay the judgment, and then you have to sue Liberty Mutual to obtain the benefits that you are entitled to.
Maybe you could have gone to trial and won. How do you know?
Well, that's a risk that everybody takes, but
right.
It's
and
a risk that Liberty it's a risk that Liberty Mutual should have made the decision on, because it's Liberty Mutual's obligation to defend and indemnify Kmart. If Liberty Mutual had undertaken its contractual obligations, Liberty Mutual would have been deciding what to do in that case. It could have decided to take the case to trial, absolutely. It could have decided to settle the case. But by forcing Kmart to make that choice, by forcing Kmart to put up its own money, either in terms of the defense cost in defending the case or paying the settlement to try to avoid that potentially much greater liability, Liberty Mutual is prejudicing Kmart.
Do you think Seahat's deposition would have been any different if Footstar or Liberty had an attorney at the table?
Well, Liberty Mutual's and Footstar's attorney didn't think so. He reviewed the transcripts. He reviewed the entirety of the record when they got involved in the case, and he decided that Kmart's defense had been sufficient, and they decided not to retake any discovery, including the depositions.
You're in your rebuttal time.
Right. But do you have any other comments? Because you took an awful big rebuttal.
I did, yes. I can save the remainder of my time, though, for rebuttal. I can certainly whatever I have left.
If you have any more argument,
well, I will save the remainder of my time for rebuttal then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Sitzer. Yes.
Yes. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. I'm Matt Sitzer, and I represent Liberty Mutual. I'm also arguing on behalf of Footstar. When I hear counsel make an argument like he's made using the expansive language of arising out of or related to. As an insurance company lawyer, what I hear in code is that he's saying the coverage is unlimited, and it clearly is not unlimited as related to the additional insured coverage. The counsel would like the master agreement to say goods or services arising out of or relating to Footstar's work, and the analysis to end there. But as Your Honors aptly noted in questioning, the analysis doesn't end there. The analysis in the insurance provision doesn't end with subsection 1 and the arising out of your work. There's a further limitation on it, and the limitation in subsection 2 expressly contemplates that the master agreement in the insuring provision in the master agreement limits the insurance to only the liability arising out of the goods and services provided pursuant to the master agreement.
How should we deal with that broad language in these cases that says if there's any potential that a claim might be covered by the policy, then the insurer has a duty to defend?
Well, I think that language relates to the to the actual complaint. Here, in order to trigger the potential liability issue, you have to first conclude that Kmart is an additional insured. And the way you undertake that analysis is to determine what did CHOT do in connection with the liability-causing incident. And here's what happened. You know, there were lots of hypotheticals. Here's what actually happened. The Patricks come into the store. They have no intention of going into the footwear department. Their sole reason for being into the store is to go buy a baby carriage. They encounter CHOT in the store. They ask him for assistance. He doesn't provide assistance.
No, I know.
He gets on the internet.
We all know. We really did read this.
He's then affirmatively asked to come out of his department by a Kmart employee.
Yeah, but he did.
And so he's providing assistance to, he's helping Kmart do its work in connection with a product that Footstar has nothing to do with, in a part of the store that it is undisputedly Kmart's sole responsibility for operating and maintaining safely.
Well, I'll tell you that the way I view it is CHOT had been in the store on his day off, Footstar, you know, just has no liability. But the fact is that he was in the store because of his work. Is that enough? Now I'm asking you to help us to say that the damage arose out of his work and services under the agreement. In other words, but for the fact of CHOT's work in the store, the accident might not have happened.
Well, as you point out, it leads, if the analysis ends with did it arise out of his capacity of being an employee for Footstar, you're talking about a massively enlarged insurance obligation, and it's unreasonable. Here, it's limited to the goods and services provided by the agreement, and that means selling shoes and performing services incidental to selling shoes.
But taking a little further what Judge Rogner asked, we have to also deal with the district court's reading of this situation, and the district court agreed with Kmart that the duty to defend arose from the contract and the facts pled in the Patrick case. So isn't that at least a reasonable reading?
I think
which would then mean that you had to indemnify and had to defend?
I don't think it's a reading that's supported by the entirety of the master agreement, and I don't think it's a reading that's supported by the terms of the Liberty policy. I think what happened here is that this could have been a situation where Mr. CHOT and then Footstar had some liability to the extent he was involved in helping Kmart do its work. But that doesn't absolve Footstar from liability, but it does take that liability out of the master agreement, and it takes it out of the additional insured portion of the master agreement and the policy. And Kmart could have sued Footstar under a contribution theory if it thought Mr. Seahot had some responsibility, but that's not what it did here.
So that's what you're saying Kmart's recourse would have been.
Yeah, and I think below, the district court fashioned what it believed was more of a contribution-style remedy, in spite of the fact that that's not the case that Kmart pled. It wanted 100% indemnity and for its even for an act that undisputedly it had some serious liability for. It was, you know, something fell off a shelf in an area of the store that Kmart undisputably had responsibility for maintaining safely. And it's just, when you start to stretch the insurance obligation and the indemnity obligation into factual scenarios like what happened here, this isn't a hypothetical, that's what happened. What that leads to, as Judge Williams pointed out, is kind of an absurd and unworkable dysfunctionality in the stores where you know, in order to trigger indemnity and additional insured coverage, you know, you incentivize the indemnity, the potential indemnity, to kind of trick or entreat somebody to come out of their area of the store every time Kmart undertakes some sort of potentially dangerous activity in order to trigger the insurance. And that can't be what this means. That can't be what the parties intended by the risk allocation measures in Section 18.1. It just leads to an absurd, dysfunctional result that's plainly inequitable.
This is just, well, if we decide that we don't agree with your Scrivener's error theory about services with a capital S versus services with a lowercase s, then wasn't CHAT performing a service by assisting?
It may have been performing a service, but it was not a service that was required under the master agreement. Again, he was doing, if you define service to mean helping Kmart do its work, helping a Kmart employee that affirmatively asked him to come out of his department after he had turned the customer over to her.
So is he the one that Kmart should have been going after, Mr. Seahat?
It would have been an option, but what probably should have happened had Kmart actually thought that Footstar was responsible or bore some responsibility is it had every opportunity to pursue a contribution action. Footstar may have had some liability here, but this isn't a situation where Footstar or Liberty, as Footstar's insurer, was looking to avoid it. But what was pleaded here was not a contribution remedy. What was pleaded here was they went for the whole shebang.
So wouldn't Footstar have defended saying Seahat was on a frolic of his own?
Well, again, this was not a situation where Mr. Seahat was acting in some kind of rogue capacity within the store, in the pharmacy, you know, doling out prescriptions. He was just asked to come out to do a favor for a Kmart employee. Now, when this thing was tendered to Footstar, literally 30 months by Kmart, literally 30 months after the accident, that's what Liberty and Kmart are thinking. They're not thinking indemnity or additional insured. They're just thinking, well, what if this guy had... And the mischaracterizations with regard to the lawyer wasn't Liberty's lawyer, Liberty's coverage lawyer. The lawyer was the underlying defense lawyer for Footstar. You know, if those notes hadn't been inadvertently produced by my predecessor, I came in on the appellate level, they wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Didn't Liberty know everything it needed to know to assume control of the Patrick lawsuit by June of 2007?
No. Well, no, because A, Footstar hadn't been added as a defendant at the time, and as I just mentioned, It may have known because there was a reach out from the plaintiff, Patrick, Footstar's lawyer or Footstar's employment person to get a file that maybe CHOT was involved. But again, you know, that wasn't something that anybody had any conception was going to trigger an indemnity or you know.
But how was Liberty prejudiced by Kmart's delay in notifying Liberty about the suit?
Well, Liberty was prejudiced because, first of all, the suit or the claim for additional insurance had never been tendered. What was tendered was a claim for contractual indemnity, again, 30 months after the incident and 20 months after that the underlying complaint had been filed. And in the interim, several settlement demands had been made, significantly lower than what the case ended up settling for. And, you know, one element of prejudice is that, you know, had Liberty been involved in the case, had they tendered the case early, as they should have if they thought there was certainly indemnity or additional insurance coverage, Liberty could have made an economic decision, even though it didn't believe that there was indemnity or coverage, it could have made an economic decision
to
settle the case.
If Liberty's position is that it was going to continue to deny that it had an obligation to defend and indemnify, well, why would it matter if it had known any earlier? It would have refused to settle for any amount, I would have thought. But what you're saying is, you know, maybe if it was $20,000.
There may have been insurance companies all the time make economic decisions to settle, even though they believe there's no coverage.
Well, was that like, are you referring to that July 07 when the Patricks made a $185,000 offer of judgment to Kmart?
That was one of the settlement overtures and by the way, that was never communicated to Footstar. Even though undisputedly Kmart knew that Mr. CHOT was involved in the accident. Kmart had every fact with regard to Mr. CHOT's involvement from the get-go, and yet they waited tactically to tender this thing. You know, with respect to late notice, you read that condition out of the policy if you make an argument like, well, they would have just denied it anyway. Then that just reads the condition out of the policy.
But what I'm trying to figure out is this. If Liberty thought it was going to be harmed, why didn't it ask to jump into the lawsuit in June 2007 when it first knew about the Patrick lawsuit?
Because Footstar, it's insured at the time, you know, it's insured, was not a defendant in the case, mm-hmm. had not been joined into the case at mm-hmm. that time. And so, you know, again,
no overtures at all.
No.
So it was just the expectation that the Liberty claim handler made, I expect, will be brought in as a party to the case in the near future.
When he says that, he means we expect maybe they add Footstar, you know, to the Patrick lawsuit.
And then in October, the Liberty claim handler still talks about liability possibilities.
Again, that's Footstar's liability for whatever role it played in there. And this is a mistake an error that Kmart makes consistently. It wants to equate Footstar's liability with the indemnification and additional insured obligations. And those are separate concepts. As I said, Footstar can have liability but not trigger the master agreement provision for indemnity or additional insured coverage because what it did wasn't part of the goods and services required by the master agreement. In this case, that's maybe what happened. There was a dispute as between the Patricks and Mr. Seahot and Kmart as to who actually pulled the thing down. And so at the time, again, you know, there's a dispute as to whether even what Footstar even has liability, whether he actually, you know, played some role in the thing falling down. But again, that's a completely different concept, whether they had liability, than whether there's something that occurred to have triggered the indemnity or the contractual indemnity or the additional insurance coverage. And that's a misdirection that Kmart it makes constantly throughout its briefs, and which I think needs to be considered. With respect to this, in my opinion, this is really not a very difficult case for your honors. A determination can
then, why have you spent what looks to us like millions of dollars on?
Well, you're taking a lot of time to discuss something you don't think is a particularly difficult time.
Exactly. This is a case, I came into this at the appellate level. This is a case where my client was a defendant, and you know it has to protect the integrity of its insurance language, because there are other cases. I mean, you know, our friends over here represent lots of policyholders. So we have to protect the integrity of our policy.
Is there any evidence that Liberty or Footstar would have indemnified or defended had they received timely notice?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part.
Is there any evidence that Liberty or Footstar would have indemnified or defended had they received timely notice?
They never did, so they never had to undertake that analysis. Again, while this thing was before any sort of tender was made by Kmart, which really didn't come until early 2008, the case had been filed in 2006. To the extent that Liberty and Footstar had any knowledge of this, it was sort of, you know, did he do something? Could we be brought into this as an additional defendant? This was not something that was considered as an indemnity or additional insured. You know, and that sort of goes into the, and I won't spend a lot of time on this, and frankly, I probably don't need my entire allotted time.
To my ears. Go ahead.
I may be the first person in the history of the Seventh Circuit to not use this entire.
No. It's happened before.
Judge Bauer sits on other cases.
Well, I know you have other things to do today, but the concept of bad faith here is, you know, I think the questioning today underscores that the issues were at minimum, even if you disagree with us, mm-hmm. at minimum they were fairly debatable. And that's something that the trial court absolutely recognized.
So is it true that you think Seahat's deposition would have been different if Footstar Liberty had an attorney at the table or not, or what? Or was your position fairly noted earlier?
Neither Liberty nor Footstar was ever given any notice the deposition went forward.
No, we know that. Would it have been any different? I mean,
you know, lots of lawyers can have lots of different opinions about how they defend a deponent or prepare a deponent for a deposition, so... You know, hypothetically, yes, it could have been different.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Judge Bauer. Come on up.
I'm not entirely sure how much time I actually have for
rebuttal.
6 minutes?
The keeper of the time says 6 minutes.
Let me see how far I can get then.
You can't have any of his.
No. Okay. I will be done at 6 minutes one way or another. The first thing I wanted to point out or respond to is the idea that Kmart has to ask for contribution or seek contribution from Footstar in order to get insurance under the Liberty Mutual policy. That doesn't make any sense. Kmart is an insured under the policy. It is an insured. It doesn't have to seek contribution from another insured in order to be covered under the policy. And Kmart, moreover, is insured for its own negligence. That's what arising out of means. That's been well settled in New Jersey for a long time. So when Kmart seeks coverage under the policy, it's seeking coverage for its own negligence. So the fact that Kmart may have been negligent in what happened to Judy Patrick, whether it negligently stocked the stroller or whether it failed to maintain the merchandise, Kmart is covered for that. That's why it has the insurance. That's why you have the arising out of language of the insurance.
Yeah, but I think he answered that question in response to the point that if we adopted your theory that, well.
Well, the other point that I want to make on that is that Kmart did seek contribution. It filed this case, and it included Footstar as a defendant seeking contractual indemnity. That is what Kmart did. So Kmart wasn't just going after Liberty Mutual. It did sue Footstar as well. So I don't really understand what the point that counsel was trying to make there. On the prejudice issue,
I think his point was if there was a finding that there was no duty to indemnify, then what recourse would Kmart have? I think that was the context in which that came up. So, but go ahead.
Okay. On the subject of prejudice from the notice, we know in this case that Liberty Mutual would not have paid any amount to settle the Patrick lawsuit.
How do we know that?
We know that for a couple of reasons. First, with respect to the $186,000 demand that was made in July of 2007, Liberty Mutual was on notice of the Patrick lawsuit by that point, and it had already decided not to defend Kmart.
I know, but $186,000 isn't $10,000 or $5,000.
Right. But we also know in the settlement mediation, Liberty Mutual was offered the opportunity to pay $150,000
to settle the case. That's not $10,000 or $20,000.
It refused to pay not even the $150,000. It refused to pay even $1.
That was at that point. But, you know, the number had been, look, $10,000 and we'll go away.
In that case,
we don't know.
Well, if we don't know, then there has been a failure of Liberty Mutual's burden of proof on that. Liberty Mutual, under New Jersey law, has the burden to prove that it was prejudiced. It has to show that it would have settled the case for less.
How can it do that if there was no demand for $10,000?
Well, if there was no demand for $10,000, then they couldn't settle it for $10,000.
You know, lawyers would be coming in and saying, you know, if they had asked for $5,000.
That's exactly right. So they have to prove prejudice. It's a very high standard under New Jersey law. They have to have somebody who would say, look, if we had been involved in this case from the get-go, we would have tried to settle it. And they didn't have anybody say that because they can't have anybody say that because that's not what they did. They didn't even raise late notice as a defense
So then now what you're saying is that when there any doubt, any hint that one might be brought into a suit, you have to make sure you make a statement that, yeah. Oh, we would settle this
You have to meet your burden of proof.
No, I'm just saying that's the kind of practice that this would generate, that people would just, you know, there's a possibility we'll be in, and so therefore we wouldn't settle, you know, we would settle for $1,000 or we would settle for $10,000. We're not parties. We don't know all the facts, so we just put a number out there so that in advance when a situation like this arises, we're covered.
Well, that is an argument for why the prejudice standard should be enforced in this case. Because otherwise it would be very easy for Liberty Mutual to come in there after the fact and say, oh, well, we could have just offered $10,000 and the case would go away. That's not what the prejudice standard is. The prejudice standard is showing that they lost substantial rights irretrievably because of the way that Kmart defended the case.
So it's the standard if they come in before, it's the standard if they come in after, or it's not the standard if they come in before or after? What?
Anytime an insurance company under New Jersey law argues that notice was late, it must prove that it was prejudiced as a result of the timing of that notice. Prejudice means that it lost substantial rights irretrievably because of the way the case was defended. And here we know they didn't lose any substantial rights because that's what their attorney said. They said Kmart had defended the case sufficiently. Moreover, under New Jersey law, as we've seen in the very recent case, the American States versus Philadelphia insurance case, If you deny coverage on other grounds, that is proof as a matter of law that there is no prejudice because they would have simply denied anyway, even if notice had been timely. They didn't even raise late notice as a defense in January of 2008 when they received Kmart's letter. So they weren't thinking, and they had no intention ever of relying on notice. They just thought it wasn't covered, and they take the risk that they're wrong in that determination. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, thanks to all parties.